The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Jesus was as far away to me as the man on the moon, but I go to sleep on a hot August night of 1978 in the middle of this New Age quest, and I'm awoken from my sleep. I'm suddenly aware that I'm aware. My eyes are still closed, but I have like this heightened state that something's going on.
Feeling isolated, unfulfilled, and lost, Rabbi Kurt Snyder had a vision that gave him the answer he had been searching for all along. Next.
I want to welcome you, but by the way, we have a rabbi here with us today, and let me tell you this, I like him. You're going to like him the minute you see him, too. You'll say, he's cool. A Journey into Divine Love. Now, his testimony is interesting. We'll hit it briefly, but then we're going to go into divine love because God is love, and we don't seem to know much about this divine love. Rabbi Snyder, it's good to have you.
I love you. You're a breath of fresh air. Mm. It's great to be with you. I've been wanting to meet you in person for a long time, so happy the day has arrived.
Tell us, describe what you do, your ministry.
My ministry is called Discovering the Jewish Jesus. I've been preaching over television for close to 20 years on most of the Christian networks, also in radio stations across the country. Also, I've done a lot of traveling. I'm an evangelist. I've been many places in Africa and different parts of the world. And my passion is I just love God's Word. I don't even need an audience. It's just the Word of God is the engine in me. Mm-hmm. So what I do is I just proclaim the good news of Yeshua's kingdom, of Jesus' kingdom. And my ministry, James Betty, I consider to be an overflow of my own relationship with the Lord. My first ambition is not to preach. My first ambition is to grow in Him and enter more fully into that which He's purchased for me.
You just heard someone speaking the mind and heart of God. I think as clearly as you can share it. And you mentioned about an overflow. That's what's coming. You are overflowing with divine love. It's obvious. So your testimony, though, just real brief, the journey you had, how you came to Christ.
Well, I'm Jewish, born Jewish, raised Jewish. My parents both Jewish. I'm 100% Ashkenazi Jew, according to Ancestry.com, bar mitzvah in a conservative synagogue. And I didn't know anything about Jesus growing up. He was as far away to me, James Betty, as the man on the moon. I literally never thought of Jesus in my life. But what happened was I ran into a huge identity crisis when I graduated high school. I was a very committed athlete. I wrestled all through school, got a small wrestling scholarship to college. Right before I left to fly to University of Tampa, where I was going to go to college, we got a letter in the mail that they discontinued the wrestling program. They still gave me the small scholarship, but there was no wrestling program, and I didn't know who I was anymore. I was lost. The world that I had known was over. I knew myself as Kurt Snyder, the wrestler, and I was in control on the wrestling mat. But now that was over, and I was going into a world that was so much bigger than I. I wasn't in control, and I realized also I could get cancer. I could get killed even as an 18-year-old. I have no guarantees. And I just went into a tailspin. Again, huge identity crisis, didn't know who I was. Felt now I was vulnerable because I was in an environment where I wasn't in control. The whole world now was my home. And I struggled like that for about 2 years. I was searching for an answer. I was asking, what can give me that feeling back that wrestling gave me? And I didn't know what it was. I thought about becoming a doctor, but I knew I didn't have the aptitude to be a doctor. I thought about becoming a lawyer, and I thought that might be possible. But in the back of my mind, I was thinking, but what's going to happen to you when you're 65 after retire? You're going to be in the same boat you're in now again. Your purpose will have ended, and you'll be lost all over again. So I didn't know what to do. Long story short, I was reading a book on the New Age, and there was a picture in this book of this guy levitating off the ground. You know what that is, the yogis from India. And I said, God, I always believed in God. I said, if that's real, if that guy can really levitate off the ground, I found my new wrestling. Because if I could levitate off the ground, this is a higher reality than making money. And I imagined how great I'd feel levitating off the ground. So I'm in the middle of this quest, and I go to sleep one night. Now, keep in mind, no one had ever witnessed to me. I had never read the New Testament. Jesus was as far away to me as the man on the moon. But I go to sleep on a hot August night of 1978 in the middle of this New Age quest, and I'm awoken from my sleep. I'm suddenly aware that I'm aware. My eyes are still closed, but I have like this heightened state that something's going on. And in an instant, Jesus appeared on the cross. It was in color. I could see the terrain the cross was staked in. As an American, I knew enough to know the person on the cross was Jesus. That's all I knew. And then James Betty, from straight above, like through the blue sky, a ray of red light beamed down on this man on the cross's head, on Jesus' head. And when I saw that ray of red light beam down on his head, I knew the light was coming from God. I understood the symbolism, and I knew that the Lord just showed me that Jesus was the way to him.
Wow.
And I also realized that, you know, I had found my answer. Because remember, I was lost. I was searching. Wrestling had ended. I didn't know who I was anymore. Was looking for purpose. And that quick, 2 seconds, my life completely changed.
Wow.
And I eventually started telling everybody about the experience. Somebody said, you need to go get a New Testament. So I went and got a New Testament and slowly was assimilated into my walk with Christ.
It is amazing. It is visibly apparent that he is in you.
Thank you, brother.
That Jesus. All right.
Yeah.
This journey.
Journeying into Divine Love, it's a book specifically devoted to the Song of Songs. Most people refer to it as the Song of Solomon. But several years ago, about probably 8 years ago, I came to the beginning of the year, and I was looking to the Lord, what do you want me to focus on this year? And I just felt very focused and strong that the Lord was telling me, I want you to focus exclusively on the Song of Songs. Again, most of the church refers to it as the Song of Solomon for the next year. The reason I call it the Song of Songs is because the book actually names itself. It starts out in the first verse, this is the Song of Songs.
Wow.
And it's such a more beautiful title than the Song of Solomon. So for a full year, I spent like over an hour, probably a minimum of 2 hours every day in the Song of Songs. And I preached 50 messages on it. And eventually I just felt the Lord told me to write a book on it. So this is the book, Journeying into Divine Love. To me, the Song of Songs is a book like no other book in the entire Word of God. The ancient rabbis, when they were deciding which books they were going to include in the Hebrew canon, the Old Testament, there was a debate as to whether they should include the Song of Songs. But one of the most revered sages said, this should not only be included, he said, this is the Holy of Holies of the Bible.
Wow.
And the ancient rabbis always understood that this was not just about Solomon writing a poetic love song to the Shulamite bride, the historical figure in the Song of Songs, but this has always been understood to be a love letter between God and his people. And the Song of Songs reveals an emotional side of the Lord that's revealed like no other book in the Bible. And the revelation that we can receive in terms of how intimate God feels about us, how much he loves us, how beautiful he is, and how beautiful we are to him. There's no other book in the Bible that covers this territory like the Song of Songs.
So when you teach this, and now you hope what you've seen when you teach will pass on through the book, what have you seen happen to those who hear the message from him that you long for them to hear?
Yeah. Well, first let me share what happened to myself. So as I started coming into this book, I literally, James Betty, I felt a supernatural, tangible anointing of beauty on me. I remember when I was recording.
Well, you're radiant. I thought that the moment I met you, and I had not seen you in person, but immediately I saw that.
Yeah.
But there's a radiance on you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. That's what I pray for, you know. Jesus is so beautiful. And you guys are beautiful. Look, I mean, look at you guys, man. You guys are awesome. You guys are beautiful. I remember I was preaching. I went to a South Bend, Indiana, where I was filming at the time years ago, and I preached 50 messages on the Song of Songs. And in 2 days, I preached like 13 or 16 messages. I forgot how many I preached in 2 days. I got into my car to drive home after that to Columbus. You'd think I'd feel tired. I got in my car after preaching these 13, 16 messages on the Song of Songs. I felt totally clothed with beauty. The beauty of Jesus is so revealed in the Song of Songs, and how beautiful you and I, his people, you are to him. You will receive that. You'll receive that anointing as you give yourself to the Lord through your study of the Song of Songs. And what I try to do in my book, Journeying into Divine Love, is break it down so people can understand it. I feel like I have anointing to make complex things simple. So that to me is like really important, because I think at the end of the day, Jesus is simple.
Well, okay, what have you seen happen when people hear the message? What happens to them?
Thank you, sir. Wow. Well, let me put it this way. I've been preaching on television for close to 20 years. I get more testimonies from my viewers from what they received on my messages on the Song of Songs than I've received from any other series that I've ever done through 20 years of preaching. People, just their heart opens up. They begin to have a new sense of how valuable you are to God. You know, a lot of times people delivered from inferiority. What happens to people when they receive the revelation of how special and how personally Jesus is in love with you? It will transform you from the inside out. Like, you'll know you're somebody. You know, you'll know, even if you're, a lot of people struggle with body image, right? So many people delivered from problems that they're having regarding their self-image about their body, when they realize how Jesus feels about them, have a lot of testimonies like that. Just overcoming inferiority and beginning to be able to value yourself like Jesus values you.
You know, you always, as a parent, you want to bless your children, and you want them to overwhelmingly feel the love in your heart for them.
Yeah.
And when you feel that coming from God, like nothing ever before, there is like a shower of love and blessing. You feel it come on you.
Yeah.
And you know, no matter what I've done, God has forgiven me.
Amen.
No matter what I do, He forever loves me.
You know, it's a beautiful thought that I heard shared one time, Betty, that really blessed me. Like, one of the greatest things about being a child of God is every day we begin anew. Mm-hmm. No matter what happened yesterday, like you said, no matter what happened in the past, no matter what sin you might have committed in the past, no matter what you're ashamed of, every day you can start brand new. The slate is washed clean through the blood of Jesus. We begin anew, beautiful to God, all because of who He is and the sacrifice that He made for us.
You know, one of the things I try to say to you as often as I can, and I can't say it too much, if you could only know how special, how beautiful you are to Him. Mm-hmm. He didn't make a mistake. He didn't make a mess. And He loves you. And when you experience that divine love, and then you begin to express it, when you let the river of love and the river of life begin to flow freely through you, that divine love will touch others. And you know that. You know, when you watch me and Betty and you see us come in every day and we show you the overlooked and the forgotten and the least of these, with us as God's people, with your help, putting His arms around them. And that's not an acting part or a role we play. We really love them. You're going to see some very hungry children. You're going to see some families. And I wish you could know how much I love all of them. They're beautiful to God. That's divine love. I want to hold them in His arms of love. I want to meet a need that needs to be met. This is divine love.
Amen.
And as I'm getting older, I'm 80 years old now, I'm experiencing it in greater fullness. And it seems to flow even more freely. Mm. And the more freely it flows, the more like it's catching people up in the river of God's love and the river of His life. And it's a beautiful thing to see. And if the family of God, the family of the perfect Father, would show this world that knows very little about a healthy family, even a healthy father or mother and dad or relationships, if we could just show them how we, the family, love one another, I believe they would run to that family to know that Father. Amen. Don't you believe that, if they could see this love and witness it?
Brother, thank you for preaching what you're preaching. I've seen you preach it many times before, and I think more people need to be speaking on exactly what you're speaking about, and we need to get rid of the competition, and we need to come together and understand what the calling really is, to love Him, to love each other. And as we know, Jesus said, all men shall know you by your love. And boy, a lot needs to shift and change before the world sees what Jesus prophesied is going to happen.
You know, I just got the book, And wow, prophetic love letter. Kiss me with your revelation. Draw me after you. Dark yet lovely. Where do you pasture your flock? The praise of the bridegroom, the banner of love over you. Come along. I mean, just, I just feel like, I feel like you're going to be leading the reader into an experience of divine love. And you've been given a wonderful gift. You've got an aura of glory or radiance on you that captured my eyes the moment I saw you. But I'm telling you, this is special. This is a special man. And you know, when we invite somebody on, we believe it's enabling you to see Jesus more fully, more clearly. And you notice how we bring people from all different backgrounds, even different denominational groups. It doesn't matter, because we're trying to bring them into an aura of divine love, where His presence and His power is manifest. And I think you've seen through what we do in our ministry and our television program. I've been on television now over 50 years. And I think you can see the love of God and the unity of spirit that we build when we invite people in, even as our guests, and we speak to them. And then we go into the darkest corners of the world with the brightest light, and it's divine love.
Beautiful.
That's flowing through us. Is that what you see?
Praise God. I want to share a good testimony with you about that. I told my publisher that I was going to be down here today with both of you. She said, oh, I have a friend that works there, and they really think a lot of James and Betty. That says something. So the reason I'm sharing that with our audience today is because the people that work here at Life Today, they see that the two people that I'm speaking with right now are real and genuine, and I want to encourage you to keep on supporting what they're doing, because there's not many people in the world left like James and Betty Robinson.
God bless you. Rabbi, I want you to go online and get the book. But I tell you what, if you will just right now help us put God's arms around some of the most desperately needy people, we had not found these children. We had not found this situation. The hundreds of thousands that faced death very rapidly, where they couldn't even bury their children in a grave. They had to bury these dying children in a big pit, just like a dugout ditch. We can stop it. I mean, I want you to listen to the heart of God through one of our co-laborers and workers, Tammy. Listen to her and look with your eyes and see through His eyes what we can do if we extend His hands with the power of divine love. Watch closely.
We talk a lot about the children. As I'm traveling, I spend a lot of time with the children, and I see their need, especially the little ones under five that are so vulnerable. And sometimes the elderly in these communities can be overlooked because we're focused so much on the children. Today is a different day for me when I've come into this village, and yes, I see the children. Yes, my heart is wrapped around those kids. But I'm sitting with this elder of the community, 80 years old, and I think about my own parents. They should be thriving. They should be in a season in their life where they are not struggling, where they're looking around and seeing people prospering, living, laughing. And all he does is cry, feels the weight of the burden, and he can't do anything about it. Even as a father or a grandfather, he can't change it because his hands are tied. There's no water, there's no crops, there's no food, there's nothing. They have very little to survive on, and they're barely making that happen. I have no doubt he is struggling and carrying so much weight every single day. We could do something to help lift that from this community. We could do it today. We could do it together.
You know, I just Betty, I find myself wanting to just lay down and weep. Please, God. Well, now listen to me. We just found these people. Ethiopia was kind of in between some of the areas we're working. It's a very large country. And they said there's 190,000 right in this area right here. They're basically face death. And we're committed to feed 350,000. And I'm thinking, Betty, when I saw the missionaries bring this back, and Tammy and Isak Pretorius, who went in to see this horrible crisis that's occurring, I said, God, we need to jump at 100,000. Burying those kids just in a pit. They're dying so fast. And if God, if you would just give us a miracle response today, we could go put your arms around thousands of them. Give them life. Talking about the love of God, how better can you express it than to rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them from sin in the grave? It's God's love that does that. And we express His love by meeting needs. Jesus said, if we just give a cup of water, it's bigger than you can describe. And Betty, I'm praying for a miracle that just absolutely takes our breath. That every single person watching would say, you know what? I can feed three. I can feed five. I've got $30. I've got $50. I can feed 10. I've got 100. There's some of you that could give thousands of dollars. And we have gifts to bless you. You're going to love what we're offering you because we come every day to share the life of God and the love of God, and you help us. But we try to put something in your heart with our guests and the message of love and life and reach out and put God's arms around you every day. But right now, you can put God's arms around people that are dying, and they're going to see the love of God demonstrated. And then we're going to share that love in Christ, and they'll come to Christ. But we will have saved their lives and given them lives. I'm believing everybody watching is going
to
do something.
I do, too. I'm just counting on you. God's counting on you to step in and do your part. Let's help feed these precious little ones. They don't have a chance if someone doesn't help them. So join with us, please. As maybe you've done before, but maybe the first time for you, you'll be so blessed. Thank you.
And you know, you heard Tammy talking about an older person. You know, we're the older people. It's nice to know you'd be cared for. If you couldn't get around like Betty and I can, and we believe you would, Father, please pour your love out through the viewers today, your divine love, in Jesus' name. Would you please make the gift God puts on your heart? Would you go online, take your bank card, use it like a check, or dial that number, and you make the biggest gift you can because you really are giving life the greatest gift. Please do it right now.
Right now, across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. Severe drought and famine, including in crisis areas like Ethiopia, means we must replenish food supplies immediately to keep feeding 350,000 children and help reach more people in desperate need. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send the blessing of taking communion. In this book, discover how the sacred ordinance of communion helps to feed your soul and remind you of the transformative power of receiving the Lord's Supper. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Life Legacy Journal. This beautiful journal and pen will help you write your personal story and share the experiences that made you who you are. One day, the generations that follow will be able to look back and learn from the legacy you've left behind. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, my heart is just broken sitting here in this cemetery surrounded by graves that are, each and every one of them, graves for children. Little lives that have been stolen by malnutrition, children who've starved to death because they didn't have enough food. It truly breaks my heart. But you know what breaks my heart even more is the fact that we could have avoided this. We could have changed this. We could have stopped these graves from being filled with these little lives. We could have saved these children if we'd just been able to act in time. If we'd just been able to get to their village, take mission feeding and give them a bowl of food a day. I need your help today. I need you to help me to ensure that the next grave doesn't get filled with another child who died for no good reason. Please, give a gift of life today. Give the gift of mission feeding. If you can give $30, $50, or $100, you can save 3, 5, or 10 children. 10 children's lives that are relying on you. 10 mothers that are saying, please, please give that gift today. Please help save my child's life.
You know, I believe Rabbi Schneider's blessed us. I want you to get this book. You gave any gift, and we have the gift of communion, the Life Legacy Journal, the beautiful bronze. But if you make any gift to help us, along with these other gifts, we'll send you this. And I want you to experience the power of the divine love this rabbi talks about. Rabbi, thank you for being with us. May God bless you, sir.
God bless you.
And bless.
Thank you so much.
And bless all of you for putting his arms around the overlooked and the suffering and lifting them up. Thank you for doing that.
Over 60 years, Life Outreach International has shared the transforming truth of God's love in both word and deed. Our ministry to the lost and hurting is only made possible because of the prayers and generous gifts of our friends and partners who provide consistent, faithful support. Call now or go online to become a friend for life. Your monthly support will help us continue to bring God's love, hope, and healing to a world in need. One life at a time.
Next week on Life Today, James and Betty use biblical principles to unify God's family and help us navigate these uncertain times.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.